Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
A New Scientist from the 2nd of March. I'm just taking a break from reading this long book, and this is by far one of my favourite topics. It's called Resetting the Periodic Table by Joshua Howe Gego. It's an iconic picture of nature's basic substances, but are they arranged correctly, asks this Joshua Howe Gego. I would say that they're not arranged intelligently, or it's the arrangement is summed up cultural warriors. Like they punch you in the face if you say it's wrong. But I do believe that the way we have them in textbooks is wrong. Run your fingers over the white keys of piano. The notes get higher and higher as your hands move to the right. On the eighth key, something beautiful happens. A note hangs in the air that embodies some of the first, only with different pitch. What began as a twig, something similar was going on with the chemical elements more than 150 years ago. Scientists even call it the law of octaves. And it's this representation in the properties of the elements that the periodic table captures so beautifully. Similar elements end up stacked in columns or groups. One group comprises noble gases like argon and neon and barely react with anything. Another contains reactive metals which, like francium, explode in contact with water. Well, if you ever had any. There are doubts over whether the periodic table is the best possible configuration, just as notes can be arranged in various ways to produce music, so the essence of the relationship between the elements could be depicted visually. There is no easy way to judge which letter or more, which is better or more true. I do disagree with that one. I hate journalists who say, well, I'm going to write an article, and it has to not upset people, and I have to cover the fact that I don't understand it. Sorry for saying that. So the arguments over the perceived flaws of the current arrangements run below, with some chemists arguing certain elements should be relocated and others working on more radical ways to recompose the table. At first, the elements are organized by atomic weight. See, bringing order to chaos. It was actually a periodic column. Now we order them by numbers of protons and their nucleus. We also know that their properties are largely determined by the arrangement of the negatively charged electrons in the orbit success of the shells around the nucleus. Well, that's complete That's complete and utter. They're not ordered in successive shells. The lightest elements have just one shell, which can hold two of these particles. Heavier elements have more shells and can hold larger numbers of them, which is complete. He hasn't understood the first things of quantum mechanics. What really matters for each element's behavior, however, is how many electrons it has in the outer shell. That number tends to fit nicely with the way the table is arranged, namely to place the elements in similar properties, the same group. For instance, group 1, the elements have 1 element in the outer shell, and those in group 2 have 2. But that doesn't always fit together like that. Well, look, I have to say, I find that just absolutely, I just find this, it's just, where does helium go, my friend? Hydrogen, so helium should go by beryllium. Okay, I just find this just so stupid. The number of for instance, group 1 elements have 1 electron. Okay, where does the hydrogen go? Take the first element. Hydrogen has 1 electron in the outermost shell, so you might assume it belongs exactly where it is in group 1, lithium and sodium, which also have 1 electron in the outer shell. Yet hydrogen is a gas, not a metal, so its properties don't fit. The complication arises because the outer shell can only hold 2 electrons. Hydrogen is 1 electron away from getting full, given that the element yearns for another outer shell. See, that's just completely, they yearn for outer shells. That's just bad science. That makes it very reactive. In this sense, hydrogen resembles elements of group 17, namely the halogens like chlorine. Their outer shells need only one to gain 1 electron to achieve a full shell of 8. Which makes them similarly reactive in terms of the properties. And hydrogen is closer to chlorine than lithium. Well, I think you have to say, what about the electron affinity of the two? Okay, well, let's continue. This is really bad science. Lower down the table, there are no available spaces for misplaced elements. Even so, a couple of incumbents look like outliers. Take mercury, also known as quicksilver, because it's liquid at room temperature. Well, that's because you've got infilling of the shell and the relativistic Schrodinger equation. Because it's liquid at room temperature, in that sense, it's quite different from the other elements in group 12, including zinc, cadmium, and all solid metals, which gives, I think they're very similar. I think you can't say it's copper. It's in terms of the electronegativity, it drops down. In fact, it follows the same sequence. It is basically the noble gas of the D block. The noble gases are the noble gases of the P block, and beryllium's the noble gases, and beryllium magnesium's the noble gases of the S block. And yttrium and nobelium are the noble gases, lutetium, and he's just completely got this wrong. Further down the table you go, the more positively charged the proton in the element's nucleus contains. This creates a stronger pull on the orbiting electrons, meaning they must travel faster and faster. By the time you reach Mercury, the electrons are travelling at 58% of the speed of light. Well, you know, so why is thallium so different? You know, good God. According to Einstein's special theory, this means their reflective mass is slightly higher than the electrons from normal mass, which exacerbates the inward pull they feel. The upshot is that Mercury's electrons orbit so tightly that they can't be shared to form bonds with other atoms, as they are required to make solid. The same thing explains why gold is gold, a unique colour among metals. Relativistic effects is what you have to say. The relativistic effects, but this is not of the inner electrons, this is the other electrons. This is the fact that your shells travel in, your outer shell penetrates in. This is really the F-block conundrum. Group 3 holds two elements that might belong elsewhere. As we move across the upper rows of the table, electrons fill up the shells in sequence circle orbitals, waiting for the innermost shells. The other thing is, you know, gandium. Goldium has a D block, is a D block. But element 57, lanthium, the electrons begin to enter a new type of orbital called the F orbital to account for. Yet lutetium does not have an F orbital. It's a transition element. I don't know why I can say it. By element 57, lanthanum, the electrons begin a new type of orbital, the F-orbital, to account for. And I wish we could explain this bloody well properly. And here's going along as the correct periodic table with no problems in it. This is the most periodic hive off the elements, making the F-block, putting them down the table, leaving the gap at group 3. The reason they do that is simply for printing. Fair enough. But the debate over which element in F-lock should come first, some chemists maintain the decision should come down to the electron configuration, which must leave the table as it is, with lanthanum and actinium at the left end of the F-lock. Others point out that the chemical properties such as atomic radius, melting point, make lutetium and ruthenium currently at the right end a better bet. In 2016, the Union of Pure Applied Chemists assembled a task group to settle the argument, but no one expects a decision soon. Oh, well, there you go. All these niggles have persuaded some chemists that we need to redraw the periodic table. There's no shortage of ideas. Mark Letcher of Manchester Metropolitan University, UK, keeps the internet database of recorded periods. I've written to him, and he's a bit of a knob. In an attempt to better represent the continuity where one route currently ends, retired Canadian chemist Fernand Dufour developed a 3D periodic table system that looks like a Christmas tree, with the elements radiating from trunks in circles that get larger and closer to the bottom. An alternate is a spiral developed by Theodore Beffney, which allows the F-lock to bulge outwards, see the elemental seal castle all right. That just makes me spit. California, Los Angeles is among those who've argued for more fundamental changes. He previously proposed the table should be arranged to maximize the number of triads, sets of three elements that share similar properties and are related by their atomic weights. These days, he is backing an even more drastic approach to make the table not 18 but 32 columns by slotting the 30 blocks. Well, what is his name? Eric Scherry, I believe on him. This allows the atomic numbers to run under a predefined sequence, and that's the way it should be. I'm afraid, my friend, that's the way it should be. But Guillaume Raspero of Max Planck Institute of Mathematics and Sciences, Germany, famous as an alternative. He's explored whether the chemical similarity of elements in the same column still holds as well as it does 150 years ago, given our increased knowledge of chemical reactivity. His conclusion is that lanthanum belongs in group 3, that is, out of sequence. Ridges under the periodic table might seem quite a quixotic quest, but it could soon take on a new urgency, see the element factory right. We are already on the trail of element 119. Where it will go and how will the table morph to make space for it, it remains to be seen. Well, there you go. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.